One of the things that has impressed me when I think about the Lord's Supper is the past, present, and the future. And I've spoken about this before, but it just seems like it's all over the place in Scripture. And I'm going to go back to Romans 8 and just look at a passage in a moment. But when we come to the Lord's Supper, we're looking back at the cross. We're looking back at Jesus Christ, who suffered and died on the cross in order to save us from our sins. And the Lord says, partake of this in remembrance of me. We're always to be thinking back. The present is the partaking of these elements, the way we are living our lives. And we come and we remember who we are in living this life. We belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us in order that we might live by him and for him. So there's this present aspect. And the Lord says, when you're in the present, always remember the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's done. And then there's also this hope. And the hope is of the finished sanctification and also of glory. What's interesting about that, we really can't comprehend that. When you think of saying, well, we're going to not be able to sin, can't imagine that. We are going to be conformed to the very image of Jesus Christ. We are going to be sanctified completely. And we're going to be clothed in the glory of God. We shall be glorified. And when I look at people living their lives, they also have a past, a present, and future, but it's all the same for them. The past is just being born. The present is living life. The future is unknown, and they die. It's not so for us as Christians. This past, present, and future theme is amazing. And becoming a Christian is a huge change. You know that. You are a Christian and you have come and trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You know what it is to be a Christian and you know the tremendous change. And you can look at our world today and say, if you're a Christian living in this world, you live with truth. This world does not live with truth. You live with values and morality and ethics. The world doesn't have, they have a changing ethic and a changing morality, and everything is in a state of change for the world. Becoming a Christian is life-changing. But when you look forward to what the Bible talks about coming, I think we are in for the biggest part of the change that's going to happen to us. That's sort of amazing. We can't comprehend it, but the way it's talked about in Scripture is that it's totally amazing. And we need to live in expectation of that change. I want you just to look at Romans chapter 8. And there's a transition that takes place here because it's going about talking about sanctification and how we are made to live like Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 7, you find out that we as Christians still sin. And yet the Holy Spirit in chapter 8 is the one who leads us forward in this life. And there's a change that takes place because this whole chapter ends in glory. But I just want to pick out this middle part because in verse 12 through 17, it basically is saying, well, there's a battle between the flesh and the spirit. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are the sons of God. And the sons of God is a reference to all of us. I'm not trying to be gender neutral. I'm just saying the sons of God refers mainly to the inheritance we have, which is exactly the same inheritance of Jesus Christ. His inheritance is our inheritance. But if we are led by the Spirit, we are the sons of God. And by the Spirit, we have been adopted so that we say, we cry out, Abba, Father. And the Spirit witnesses that we are the children of God. Sons of God are those who have been adopted and have an inheritance. Children of God are those who are born of God, the new birth. And we are both of those things. And as children born and as sons, with an we have an inheritance. Heirs of God. This inheritance is really huge. And the only way that the Apostle Paul and the Holy Spirit here in this passage can talk about it is by means of comparison. For I consider, verse 18, for I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Now, the sufferings of this time would be the negative, and sufferings can be very great. But none of it, however great it may be in the negative, does not begin to compare with the glory that shall be revealed in us. And then it turns to this glory is not only to be revealed in us, but is to be revealed in the whole of God's creation. Verse 19, for the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. Kind of interesting to think of creation, which is sort of inanimate or in animal form, that they're looking forward to the revealing of the sons of God. And when I look at that, the first time I was looking at it, I said, wait a second, we're already the sons of God. Isn't that what it says? We are the sons of God. We are the children of God. But now it's the revealing of the sons of God. Revealing how? Revealing of the sons of God with their inheritance, with the glory. For the creation was subjected, verse 20, to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Now, hope is going to be a key word that goes on from here. Faith is what we believe. Hope is projecting that faith in the future. Faith always has hope. Faith always is hoping in the word of the one who has given us that faith. But we hope in him. Subjected in hope. Not subjected in futility, not subjected in hopelessness, but in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. So this glory is not only going to include our very being, but also the whole dominion of the creation. When man sinned, man was cursed with sin and death. His life, his land, and his labor were all cursed, and the land was cursed. And so from the time of the fall of mankind, we have lived in a cursed environment. And God is going to set that free. We look at our environment and we say it's very beautiful. It's really beautiful. We can go traveling around, look at different places, and you can see pictures of places. You say, man, this is really beautiful. You have not seen anything yet. You have not seen anything yet. And it's like this, the glory of God, and when he reveals his glory in us and in the whole of creation, it will be the most astounding part of our salvation. I say that in light of our new birth, in light of the adoption, and the light of our salvation, in light of sanctification, in light of all that we've experienced. And when I look at the Christian life, I'd say, contrary to the Apostle Paul, if this is all we have, this is great. It's great to be a Christian. The Apostle Paul says, in comparison to what is coming, if this is all we have, it's really nothing at all. And he's not making less of Christ or our salvation or our justification or our sanctification. What he's saying is, if you compare what we have now with what is to come, the glory to come, and all that means with us, wow. He says, you have no idea. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pains now, together until now. But not only they, but we also have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves grow within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope. But the hope that is seen is not hope, for what? Why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with patience, with perseverance. And goes on to speak of this glory. But this picture that is given is that our faith has hope. When we come to this table, we're reminded of the wonder of the cross and the fullness of that cross. But that cross secured justification, sanctification, and glorification. It secured all of the blessings that we shall ever experience in Christ Jesus. And we are like in transition. You can take our salvation, I've said it many times, you can pull it apart. You have justification, the whole of sanctification, and glorification. But you let go of it and our salvation snaps all back together, because it's just we have this salvation. It is God has seen fit for us to experience it over time, that we may rejoice in the greatness of what God has done for us. But this is totally amazing. But to think of the glory, it's very interesting to me when we sing the hymns. You know, many of the hymns either end in the grave or they end in glory. They end in the trumpet sound and we being caught up to meet the Lord in the air. But more than that, the glorification that takes place, and the glorification that goes all the way with reference to the new heavens and new earth. We are going to live in a glorious world, in a glorious state, with a glorious God. And it's going to be a different existence. We live this life trying to stay alive. We live in this life trying not to die. We're going to live in the salvation of God, in the fullness of that salvation, with the glory of living forever, the fullness of life. And I think it's going to be just amazing. We think about the Lord coming, being caught up to meet him in the air, and we shall be like him because we shall see him as he is. This is a wonderful thing. We have no idea. It is not just a wonderful, it is a fantastic thing that God has done for us. That's why he says, whatever difficulties you're going through, it doesn't even compare with the glory. And we may go through difficulties in this land of ours, and we may go through difficulties in time. It does not compare with the glory that God has for us. And when we partake of the elements, we are partaking of the place where it was purchased. It was purchased at the cross. Jesus Christ is the Savior. He is the King. And we rejoice in him. And the whole of our salvation, the whole of our redemption is secured at the cross of Jesus Christ. So we partake of the bread, which represents his body broken for us. He died on the cross to save us. And the cup represents the hope, the future. It represents all the blessings that we have received. The knowledge of God written upon our hearts. That we have the Holy Spirit indwelling us. that we have a spirit, a desire for the things of God. You can look at that and say, well, I'm a Christian, so I really desire the things of God. I say, you're a Christian, and you desire the things of God really because he gave us a new spirit. In renewing our spirit, we desire him. And these are wonderful blessings, the full forgiveness of our sins, the full removal of our sins, the full glory that he purchased for us. That's what we represent. So we take the cup as representing the blessings, all the blessings that we ever receive in Jesus Christ. Why? Because he was broken for us in order that we would be blessed, broken and blessed. That's what these elements represent. And that represents past, present, and future. We have a glorious hope. So it really, when we come to this table, it really is the past and the future are really joined together. We should rejoice in Christ and live in expectation of his coming. Live in expectation of the glory yet to come. And you know, that same thing is true of the saints that are in heaven right now. And you might think, well, the saints in heaven, they're just in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ in a glorious state. I say, they're in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, but the glory has not yet even been given to them. The only one who's glorified in heaven is Jesus Christ. They are present with him, soul and spirit, perhaps in some bodily form that God gives to them. I don't really know, but I do know that their bodies remain upon the ground. And glory involves the fullness of God creating man, body, soul, and spirit, the fullness of putting all of that back together in a glorified state. And it will be wonderful. So I say, the Christian life, is it worth it? Oh man, the Christian life is really worth it. The glorified life? Wow. What great expectation we should have about the living in the presence of the Lord in glorified form. Body, soul, and spirit in glorified form. And I've often said, when we have this body, you know, for me, if God had another body for me, that would be fine. I've been this body for a long time. It might be nice to have a different body, a different kind of body or something. But when Jesus died, he died to put all the pieces back together. And if the body stays in the grave, there's a victory that Satan has accomplished, because he takes body, soul, and spirit, and death is really separation of all those three things, separating them all. God takes them all and puts them back together in glorified form. So we're not going to be like Adam and Eve. We're going to be like Christ. That's far better. We have a great hope. And if you're going through difficult times and difficulties and struggling and coming to the Lord's table should be an encouragement to think boldly about the hope that we have in Christ, a glorious hope that I'm quite sure none of us will ever be disappointed in the blessings that God has in store for us. So remember the past, celebrate the present, and rejoice in the hope to come. The great hope that we have in Christ. Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that our salvation has such a great hope. We rejoice in the blessings that you have given to us already. And we say thank you, thank you, and thank you that we have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us, that we have your presence with us, so we have the wonder of salvation in Jesus Christ. These are just amazing, wonderful truths. And yet, the glory of our salvation is yet to come. You have great things in store for us. Even the environment that we shall live in, great things are in store for us. And we thank you now, because as we look at the hope in the future, we do not have it yet. And so it is a hope for us. We are the children of God. We are the sons of God. But yet there will be a revealing in full of all the blessings that you have for us. And thank you, Father. And we love to rest those blessings in your heart for us, because we know what you have for us is far beyond what we could ever even think about. So thank you that we have great hope. And thank you that this world cannot dim the hope that we have in Christ. We live with great expectations. We thank you for this bread, and we pray that you will bless it as we partake of it. Bread that represents the broken body of Jesus Christ for us. He died to save us. We're so thankful for the salvation we have only in him. So bless this bread as we partake of it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.